Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Tuesday, February 25th, 2020 to you all. We got a lot to get to on today's Current Sports, including some new hires for Mel Tucker's Michigan State football coaching staff. You'll get my thoughts on two new names that have now joined Mel's staff. And, you know, this staff is really coming together now. Actually, the only position that Mel has not filled is defensive coordinator. So we're still waiting to see who will be the DC for this team. But, you know, it's coming together quite nicely, if I may say. And you'll get my thoughts on why I believe that later on this hour, okay? So we'll talk about those two new names for Michigan State. Michigan State football. And also, tonight, a pretty big game for the Michigan State men's basketball team. You know, it's pretty remarkable to me that Michigan State right now is still technically in the hunt to win a Big Ten regular season championship. They are in a pretty wild tie for second place that includes, like, five different teams. So, big game tonight, as they will play one of those teams that are in that log jam for second place in the Big Ten Conference. The Iowa Hawkeyes come to town to play MSU men's hoops at 7 p.m. Now, for those who will be attending that game tonight, let me first say this. Be safe, because we are expected to get a ton of snow starting very, very soon. I know it's like really going to start picking up around like game time, actually, around 7, 8 p.m. And then it's going to get just gradually worse throughout the evening and into Wednesday morning. So please be safe. Hopefully that thing is said and done early. Let's not hold our breath, though. You know how sports can be. If it's a close game, you're really going to have to just take your time leaving the Breslin Center. But if it's a blowout early and you feel like Michigan State has it in the bag, and we see the likes of Jack Hoiberg and Steven Izzo and Connor George, then, hey, warm up that car and get the heck out of there, all right? But please, be safe. But we'll be previewing Michigan State and Iowa tonight. Pretty big game, as Michigan State is playing. Yeah, I guess we can just say it right now, right? I mean, Luka Garza, he is your Big Ten player of the year. I mean, that dude is putting up numbers that are turning everybody's heads, and deservingly so. He is such a solid big threat down low. So Luka Garza is going to be a handful for the Spartans. You'll get my thoughts on how you slow him down and what Michigan State must do in order to pull out the dub. And we will also further talk some men's college hoops with Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta, dear friend of the show. Deshaun is going to join us around segment number two, and we'll get his thoughts on Michigan State men's basketball. We'll get his thoughts on, I also want to kind of pick his brain on the Atlanta Hawks and the unreal year that Trae Young is having and his maturity, because Deshaun Tate not only covers college basketball, but he also covers the NBA's Atlanta Hawks down there in Atlanta. So I do want to pick his brain on that. That will be the show today. And you can be a part of it. If you would like to join the hour and let your voice be heard, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can call or text that number. You can weigh in on our Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch the live stream there. Comment below that video. And you can join the conversation courtesy of Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Here are your current sports quick hits headliners. As I already mentioned, Michigan State men's basketball, as the season winds down now, pretty hard to believe that there are just four games left in the regular season for Michigan State men's hoops. They will get it on against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Michigan State, the 24th ranked team in the nation. Iowa listed as the 18th ranked team in the nation right now. At 18-9, Michigan State will try and get win number 19, playing host to Iowa. That tip time is scheduled for 7 p.m. You can catch that on ESPN2. More on that game, and I believe Michigan State is I've seen it listed anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5 point favorites. So Michigan State is favored in that game tonight, 7.5, 8.5, depending on what sports book you are looking at. Also, Michigan State head football coach Mel Tucker, he has announced two more staff hirings, naming Ross Elves, the special teams coordinator, and William Kegler as the running backs coach. The 30-year-old coaching vet in Elves, he has spent the last three seasons as the inside linebackers coach at Colorado. He added duties of special teams coordinator under Tucker in 2019. This is what Tucker had to say concerning Ross Elves. Quote, Ross has been a Power 5 defensive coordinator and does an excellent job with special teams. His attention to detail is outstanding, and he's a great teacher. He also develops great relationships with his players, which makes him a great recruiter as well. His experience will definitely help our staff, end quote. Now, Kegler, who is 34 years old, he was the director of quality control for the offense last season. What does that mean? The director of quality control, Jack? That is probably the first I have ever heard of that position. The director of quality control. What does that mean?
You've never heard of that before?
Never.
Okay,
heard of that.
So it typically, and it seems to be true again in this case, is something that goes to usually a younger coach who's making his way up through the ranks. He's not a coordinator. He doesn't work with a specific position group. He's kind of a consultant, and he learns the basis of how an offense or a defense works.
So it's a learning position, basically.
I would say in most cases, from what I've seen, yeah, people that hold quality control positions are younger, typically.
So he's controlling the quality of the offense.
And making a lot of money doing it on his way up the ladder to more prestigious roles that you actually will have heard of
Definitely.
Before on coaching staffs.
Yeah, he's only 34 years old. Pretty amazing. So, again, Kegler, 34 years old, director of quality control for the offense at Colorado last year, has been coaching in college for the past 10 seasons, and this is what Coach Tucker had to say concerning Kegler. William has an excellent understanding of offensive concepts. He really gets it. He also has experience working with offensive coordinator Jay Johnson and has been at some high-level programs, including Clemson and Georgia.
He's a multi-talented coach, and I think he's a rising star. Actually, Pegler was a student assistant under Coach Dabo Swinney at Clemson. So
there you go. He says he thinks he's a rising star.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. I like it. I like the hire. And, you know, again, we're just waiting on who's going to fill the defensive coordinator position now for Michigan State football. More on those hirings later on this hour as well. I want to expound upon a few things there.
I got a theory for you as well on that, the coordinator thing. But, okay. Yeah, later.
We'll do that later, Dan. Let's call it a tease, folks. Michigan State's annual Green and White Spring Game has officially been scheduled for Saturday, April 18th. That will be a 4 p.m. kick time in Spartan Stadium, all right? So that game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. So, again, Saturday, April 18th, 4 p.m., that is when your Green and White Spring Game will take place. Put that on your calendar. You know, write it down in your phone. Just take note of that. Additional details regarding the spring game and the youth clinic will be released at a later date, and the Spartans will begin spring practice under new head coach Mel Tucker on Tuesday, March 17th. So right around the corner, that's actually St. Patrick's Day. You think that's on purpose, Jack? Because it gets pretty wild on St. Patrick's Day here in East Lansing.
Wait, it does?
Come on now.
I think I might know a thing or two about that. I didn't go to the spring game last year. I can tell you, I'll be at this one, probably covering it with you, I'm sure. Right. But I'll be excited for this. And I think Spartan fans will be very excited to see what this team looks like. So this will be the most highly anticipated spring game probably since the 10-3 season a couple years ago.
Probably. That's a really good point, Jack. And, you know, it tickles me sometimes, man. As soon as the time was announced for the spring game, you know, Saturday, April 18th at 4 p.m., just some Spartan fans are just so hard to please right now. Everybody's so sensitive because you're coming off of everything that's happened these last few months and some bad years. But people are complaining about the start time at 4 p.m. What is wrong with a 4 p.m. start time for the spring game? I have no idea. I guess people want it earlier on in the day at noon maybe, but come on, dude.
Yeah, I think so, I guess. Yeah, I think I would prefer it to be earlier, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah, we're just complaining about everything now. It's just some people on Twitter are hopping on Twitter. That's not the majority, though. That is certainly the minority of Spartan fans. All right. Also, I want to let you guys know this. Concerns over the coronavirus outbreak overseas have convinced the Michigan football team to scrap its annual spring trip for 2020. A spokesman for the team, that's Dave Abloff, he confirmed the decision yesterday, telling MLive the program has instead set its sights locally. So the football team, quote, the football team will not be taking an international trip this spring due to health concerns around the world, most notably coronavirus. We're looking at doing some community service in Ann Arbor, end quote. That's coming from a spokesman for the team. Again, that's Dave Abloff making that statement. So that's certainly understandable. The coronavirus outbreak is pretty scary right now. All right. The Detroit Tigers are in action as I speak. The first pitch was at 1:05 p.m. Of course, it is spring training as the Tigers are playing the New York Mets. Also want to note that the Detroit Pistons are in action tonight on the road at Denver, one of the best teams in the NBA right now. The Pistons sitting at, 19-40. The Denver Nuggets looking for win number 40 tonight. They are 39-18. Tip time scheduled for 9 p.m. And also the Detroit Red Wings are in action tonight at 7:30 p.m. inside of Little Caesars Arena. The Wings, again, hosting the Devils. The Wings sitting at 15-45-4. And, you know, we touched on the Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury fight. Pretty entertaining stuff on Saturday night. Wilder, of course, he lost that fight to Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury was able to get the technical knockout. And Wilder, he put on quite a spectacle as he walked down the ring. If you remember, you know, these pre-fight walks from the tunnel to the place of combat have become so entertaining over the years. We saw Tyson Fury, like he was carried on this big stage as he made his way to the ring. And then Deontay Wilder, he had, as he always does, this is like his thing. He comes out in these elaborate, like superhero type costumes. But check this. I didn't see this coming. He is pointing to that elaborate costume that he wore that night, which was an ode to Black History Month, as one of the reasons why he lost the fight. I mean, come on now. He said the outfit was a tribute, again, to Black History Month, and the costume, which included a helmet and a mask, and included batteries to light up the mask. He had, like, red eyes. It weighed about 40 pounds. This is what Wilder told Yahoo Sports. Quote, "He didn't hurt me at all, but the simple fact is that my uniform was way too heavy for me. I didn't have no legs from the beginning of the fight. In the third round, my legs were just shot all the way through, but I'm a warrior, and people know that I'm a warrior. It could easily be told that I didn't have legs or anything. A lot of people were telling me it looked like something was wrong with you. Something was. But when you're in the ring, you have to bluff a lot of things. I tried my best to do so. I knew I didn't have the legs because of my uniform." So he calls himself a warrior.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bryce.
What are you talking about, man?
He calls himself a warrior, but then blames the loss on his costume.
You can humble yourself.
Yeah, Wilder needs to do that, Ray, for sure. But you know what I didn't know? Connor and I were talking after, and what surprised me, you know, when I was at a fight party that consisted of about, like, easily 50 people, and, you know, everybody's talking and yelling and into the fight, and, you know, after the fight, after the referee, like, stopped the fight, I thought that the referee was the one that stopped the fight. It wasn't until later on that night that I found out that it, because I thought it was a premature stop. I'm like, wow, why'd you stop it there? I mean, there were actually some pretty harsh moments prior to that in which if you wanted to stop the fight, you should have pulled the trigger then. But why in that moment? It was a bit puzzling. But, you know, boxing is filled with puzzling moments and corruption. So I'm like, all right, well, Wilder wasn't going to win that fight anyway at that point. But it wasn't until later that I found out that it was actually one of Wilder's cornermen that actually threw in the towel. Because, again, it was just weird, you know, to stop the fight in that moment. It just didn't make any sense to me. So Wilder, you know, he's got, like, some angst towards one of his cornermen now for throwing in the towel at that moment. And I would, too. It's like, you know, why in that moment did you decide to throw in the towel? But, hey, at the end of the day, Tyson Fury was going to win that fight regardless. He was really dominant in that performance. So shout out to Tyson Fury, man. He is a fun fighter to watch, Jack. You didn't tune into that fight, did you?
No, I did not. I was just going to ask you, who are you rooting for in that fight?
Nobody. I just want to see a good fight.
Okay,
man.
Gotcha.
Because the heavyweight division has been so barren for far too long that whenever you have some hype around two heavyweight fighters, I just wanted to see a good fight, a good spectacle. So I didn't root for anybody in that fight. I love Tyson Fury. I love Deontay Wilder. Probably I'm a bigger Tyson Fury fan, actually, than Deontay Wilder. I love Fury's story of redemption. I mean, this was a dude hooked on drugs and cocaine, came back, fought Deontay Wilder. They went down to the wire in that first fight. He's quite the redemption story, totally transparent. Connor had some fun with his soundbite after the fight, in which he's in the ring after he does his interviews. He grabs the mic. Bob Arum is sitting there, the famed boxing promoter, and he gets, like, I would say, like, 80% of the crowd there to join in singing American Pie, of all songs. I don't know if you saw that, but it was so hilarious, so entertaining. And he sung for, like, 2 minutes. This wasn't just a quick verse. He sung basically the entire song, and the entire crowd joined in his rendition of American Pie. And I didn't know. Tyson Fury, he can sing. He's got some good vocals, man. I was very shocked.
Why American Pie?
No idea.
Okay.
He's random like that. That's gotcha. Tyson Fury for it.
Okay, so the only point I was going to make was, I think at the time of the fight, I was probably rooting for Deontay Wilder just because he was the American. But now, I think after seeing this fight, I'm pretty happy. Or seeing this quote that he blamed the costume that nobody forced him to put on, I'm pretty happy. I think that Tyson Fury won.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, come on, dude. Of all the excuses that you could make, that's the one you choose. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
I'm going to say this quickly. I'm going to say it once, and I'm not going to say it anymore because it's an excuse. Nothing's going to change Cassius but Cassius. I don't even know what to do. I want to apologize. I want to hug and kiss him and thank him for as much as he's given me. But we all know it's not the same right now. You just watch a film from last year and you see some different things. But I can't condemn him for it because, as I've told a couple of you, we just want to pull a, you know, something out of a hat and say, is this going to be the, and I've dove in that hat. You know, I've given, my whole body's been in that hat, trying to pull something out of it. And it's not anything that I think he's trying to do. It's the most unexplainable situation that I've ever been involved in my coaching career.
All right, that was a little bit of Tom Izzo's media availability. We actually played about 7 minutes or so of that press conference at the podium for Coach Izzo during yesterday's Current Sports. And that was Izzo addressing Cassius Winston and how he has been able to go out there each and every game and play with a heavy heart, despite, of course, the tragedy that was the suicide of his brother earlier this season. You know, I've been saying all year, it's amazing that Cassius Winston has been able to go out there and just play, let alone perform the way he has. He hasn't had the season that was last year, right, where he was on the lips of so many as being the National Player of the Year. Of course, coming into this year, he's National Player of the Year candidate. He hasn't had, you know, that kind of season, but he still played well this year. And still been the leader for this Michigan State men's basketball team. And tonight is a very big game as the Spartans will play host to Iowa. Iowa is a dangerous team. They are ranked higher than Michigan State right now in the AP Top 25 poll. But that means nothing, especially when you look at who's favored in this game out in Vegas. Michigan State is anywhere from a 7.5-point favorite to 8.5-point favorite in tonight's matchup. Iowa, though, is a dangerous, dangerous team. Iowa has the number 5 offense in the country right now, but they have the 92nd defense in the country. So you can score on them, but they are hard to contain on the other side of the ball. They play really fast, they are very balanced, and they do just about everything well. There is not one component of the game that you can point to and say, they don't do that really good. They do just about everything well. Pretty good shooting team, just a tad bit better, though. This kind of surprised me. Just a tad bit better than MSU from the three-point line. So Michigan State and Iowa is pretty much even from drilling the deep ball. And we all know Luka Garza is the guy. Luka Garza is going to be your Big Ten Player of the Year. Iowa relies on Luka a ton. He actually takes 35% of their shots when he's on the floor. Garza is the main component, and for very good reason. I mean, this is a player who has definitely gotten better this season and has upped his game. He is a handful, and I think, you know, if you are going to strategize around slowing down Luka Garza, because there's two ways you can look at this. The strategy to slow him down is to get him to the free throw line. So utilize the like 20 fouls that you'll have when looking at Marcus Bingham Jr., Xavier Tillman, you know, Julius Marble, you know, players like that, you know, and those who are going to be matched up primarily against Luka tonight. You know, really utilize those fouls you have and try and get him to the free throw line. Because also Malik Hall was the other player I was blanking on. Because if you get him to the free throw line, he doesn't shoot well from the free throw line. He's shooting around like somewhere in the 60s from there, so he's not automatic from the free throw line. So you can attack him that way, or you can say, all right, we know Luka is going to get his, but just don't let anybody else go off. You know, that's probably, if I had to lean somewhere, that's probably where this thing is going to go tonight. I think Luka is probably going to go out and get his, but Michigan State has to contain other pieces around Luka Garza. It's tough slowing down Luka. Again, he's a handful. Again, taking 35% of Iowa's shots when he's on the floor, that's 14th in the country. He has 251 two-point field goals this year. 251. That's amazing. And again, you got to make him, I think, you he's going to do this anyway, but you got to make him shoot a ton, make him shoot a high volume, which he already does, force him to bat into bad shots occasionally when you can, and get him to the foul line if you can. So Iowa's an interesting team. They have losses against Michigan, against Nebraska, against Maryland, against Purdue, and also against Indiana. Those are five of the six Big Ten losses for Iowa. And all of the ones I mentioned in Michigan, Nebraska, Maryland, Purdue, Indiana, when it comes to those five losses, what they have in common is that all of those games were on the road. Iowa struggles on the road. And when they lose, I mean, we're not talking like eight-point losses here. I mean, they get blown out on the road. You know, what's also surprising, I was talking with our very own Brad Walker just before the red light went on for current sports today. And, you know, I was telling Brad, interesting thing to know coming into tonight's matchup. And in the last 21 meetings, and I'm talking dating all the way back to the Judd Heathcote era, in the last 21 meetings between Michigan State and Iowa in East Lansing, Jack, if you had to guess how many times Iowa has beaten Michigan State in the last 21 meetings, what would you say? Just throw out a number. I don't know if you saw this stat already, though.
In East Lansing, you said?
In East Lansing, Iowa, and Michigan State.
Okay, the last 21 meetings. Well, the way you're phrasing this, it probably hasn't been very many. They beat them in 2015, the Middle Tennessee State year. I believe they swept them that year, and they beat them in East Lansing, I think. So that's the one I can think of off the top of my head. I'll say three times.
You'll say three times?
Yeah.
It's one, actually.
Was it 2015?
And I have to look that up. I don't know what year that is. Maybe it is. Can you look that up?
Okay, yeah, I can. So that was the Middle Tennessee State year.
Gotcha.
I know they lost to Iowa twice. One of them was at Carver Hawkeye. The other one may not have been in the Breslin, though. It might have been in the Big Ten tournament.
Was it? Okay,
let's look that up. So I'll look it up, yeah.
Yeah, but the last 21 meetings, yeah, only one time has Iowa beaten Michigan State in East Lansing, which is pretty mind-boggling, and, you know, I don't know if that has anything to do with why Michigan State is favored tonight out in Vegas. But that's pretty interesting, right? Pretty jarring when you think about that. So, and just look at, you know, what else is jarring? Just look at what's happening in the Big Ten Conference right now. You know, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, there is a five-way tie for second place in the Big Ten. That is quite the logjam, isn't it? I mean, you've got Penn State, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and yes, your Michigan State men's basketball team in a tie for second place in the Big Ten Conference. Now, I'm still sticking to what I've stated now for like the last 2 weeks. I don't believe Michigan State is going to win the Big Ten Conference. Your five-way tie, you know, this team can be so random at times. The consistency is not there at all. Maryland right now still holds a two-game lead on those who are tied for second place in the Big Ten. And when you look at Maryland's schedule right now, I mean, the Terps will play at Minnesota tomorrow night. They do take on Michigan State on the 29th. So that's a big game. Let's see if Michigan State can get some revenge come this Saturday. But then you look at Rutgers and then Michigan. I just don't see Maryland relinquishing that two-game lead right now. I could be wrong, but if I'm a betting man, I'm not putting my money on that. But that's, you know, a two-way tie, a five-way tie for second place. That's pretty amazing. When was that loss, Jack?
Yeah, so it was the 2015-2016 season. They lost 76-59 at the Breslin Center. Yeah, Iowa was kind of their kryptonite this year, or that year, I should say, until Middle Tennessee State was, because Michigan State was obviously number one several times that season. They were near the top of the pack all year long, and yet they played Iowa twice and got smoked both times.
Exactly. So, wow, there it is. So that's some recent history then when Iowa was able to get, you know, that one win in the last 21 meetings here in East Lansing, Michigan. So, so the big question, you know, this is a big storyline heading into tonight's game. And, you know, according to, you know, Fran McCaffrey's conference call, it looks as though this brother is not going to play. Now, I could be wrong. Maybe there's an okey-doke here, but redshirt freshie guard C.J. Frederick is still not healthy. You know, he's dealing with an ankle injury that has caused him to miss the last two games. And Fran basically said, look, you know, if he's not 100%, we are not going to play him. He is the Hawkeyes' best outside shooter, third leading scorer, averaging 10.7 points per game. If he doesn't go tonight, it's going to be a big loss for Iowa. And, you know, the needle sways a little bit more on the side of Michigan State in terms of pulling out a win tonight. But, you know, you also got to look out for Joe Wieskamp. You know, he's a guy that can fill it up as well. The 6'6" forward is averaging 15 points per game. So, you know, he's like the sidekick, the second leading scorer next to Luka Garza. And by the way, Luka Garza at 6'11", big dude, big center. You know, basically call him a 7-footer, averaging, let's just call it 24 points per game and almost 10 rebounds per game, 9-point-something rebounds per game. So he's almost averaging a double-double. Pretty amazing stuff. But, you know, keep an eye on Wieskamp. We'll see if he's able to get some stuff done, too, if Michigan State keys in on Luka Garza or if they let Luka Garza get his. But we'll have to see how Michigan State plays this. This will not be easy, though. And, you know, these final four regular season games, you know, tonight – against Iowa, Saturday at Maryland. Next Tuesday, they are at Penn State. And then you've got the March 8th finale against Ohio State. That's a really tough stretch for Michigan State. And we'll really know exactly where the Spartans stand heading to the tournament. But I like this. You know, I my expectation now for Michigan State men's basketball is not a Big Ten regular season championship. It is just about seeing where this team is come postseason time. And when you have a tough stretch of basketball like this, again, where we're talking Iowa, Maryland, Ohio State, Penn State, I mean, these are games that can really pay off in terms of experience for Michigan State heading into the postseason. They'll be very battle-tested, and Tom Izzo will be able to figure out some things, I think, in terms of pushing his team in these final four games so that they are as ready as can be when the Big Ten tournament begins. So I like this stretch of hoops for Michigan State. You know, wins and losses aside here, Michigan State is going to make the NCAA tournament. I want to see how they handle teams like who I just stated in these final four regular season games to see if any maturity can happen, any late regular season maturity can happen as Michigan State enters postseason play. So we'll see what happens. For me, Jack, I am going with Michigan State, actually, to win tonight in a very close game, though. This will be a 2-3 point win for Michigan State. I think they somehow, some way figure it out. And a big component why is that they are able to hopefully neutralize the supporting cast that is Luka Garza and whoever else. Right?
Sure. So just to make sure we're in agreement then, if you are planning on betting this game, you should bet the mortgage on Iowa covering 7.5, right?
Oh, yeah, but see.
That's a crazy line.
That is a crazy line.
It's a crazy line.
7.5, 8.5. Yeah, I think it's going to be much, much closer than that.
For the record, I think Iowa's going to win. I hope I'm wrong, but
I can see that.
I've been hurt too many times this year, obviously, as a Spartan, just to pick this team, just because, you know, I watched Maryland a week and a half ago or whenever that was when they're up 7 points with 3 minutes left and they just can't close the deal. You know, I watched the Illinois game recently, and even though that wound up being a win, it was a monumental failure down the stretch just to blow that 20-point lead and to let Illinois back in this game. There's not a whole lot I can say right right now to convince people to buy stock in the Michigan State basketball program. They need to turn it around, and the way they can do so would be to convincingly beat a good team, whether it be on the road or at home. And this is an opportunity for them to do that. But until they are able to do that, I can't pick them to win a game like this. I just can't.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. And, you know, for Michigan State, you know, for me, Jack, the big thing is the turnovers, man. You cannot give a team like, especially, again, you can get away with that stuff against Nebraska, but against the better teams like in Iowa, you cannot turn the ball over the way Michigan State has turned the ball over. And I'm still just shocked. Because usually this is an early season bugaboo for the Spartans. But this has been an all-season bugaboo for Michigan State. And we're still talking about this with four games left in the year.
Sure. But, I mean, it was last year, too, though. I mean, it hampered the team all throughout last year. And I just remember sitting on these airwaves with you prior to the LSU game last year and how great LSU was at forcing turnovers. And Michigan State had been turning the ball over with such frequency then that, you know, it's become a common theme. And a big part of it is the way Cassius Winston likes to play. He wants to push the ball up the floor. And they've really missed Nick Ward this year because, you know, it used to be teams would drive to the lane and they could get an easy bucket, and then Nick Ward would run the length of the floor and we would get the bucket right back. You know, Cassius still tries to throw that stretch pass, and it seems like it results in a turnover 90% of the time, right? And yeah, in the half court game as well, they turn the ball over far too much. No, I agree with that 100%.
For sure. All right, we'll see what happens. What say you? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. And you know what? At the top of the hour, Jack, I forgot to say this. Happy Mardi Gras to our listeners out there. It is Fat Tuesday today. Are you eating any punchkis?
Yeah, I will. I'll have one later for sure. I got a big exam tomorrow, so I'm not going to be able to go to the gym anyway because I've got to study for this exam so that I can graduate in May. So
right.
No harm in having a punchki, I guess. But
no. But
before we hit this break here, we got to do this because we've done this so many games this season. Who's going to be the impact third scorer for the Spartans beyond Cassius and Xavier Tillman?
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm going to go with Aaron Henry. I'm sticking with my guy, Aaron.
Okay.
Henry. I think, Aaron, what I saw from him against Nebraska, I think hopefully he's turned a corner here. And I'm going with Aaron Henry to score 9 points and is that third guy that you can look at. Gabe Brown was great, though.
He was.
Your guy, Gabe Brown, in that last game.
Did you say my guy, Gabe Brown?
Well, yeah, you know.
He was my guy for a while, and then for a 6 or 7 game stretch, he was completely unplayable. I hope he's back to being my guy.
He was missing.
Yeah, he was missing. So, no, I like that, and I was going to say Gabe Brown just because the last time I picked him, he was really good. So I'm going to pick him again, and I hope that'll be the difference. If so, obviously, shout out to me.
All right, shout. There you go. Not to toot his own horn, but tootie toot toot. Jack Kerwin behind the glass picking Gabe Brown.
Did you just say tootie toot toot?
Oh, you never heard that?
Yeah, that's getting cut, and that's getting saved in here. That's going to be a drop.
Have you seen Martin? The show Martin Lawrence back in the day?
No.
Jack, what? Am I that old?
Who's Martin Lawrence?
Martin, you know Martin Lawrence. You do know Martin Lawrence. Who doesn't know Martin Lawrence? But the famed Martin show that took place in Detroit back in the day that is like one of the funniest black sitcoms of all time.
Al, I got news for you, boss. First of all, I'm white. I'm not sure how many white people watch the... What's this show called?
No. So many people. You at least know...
I've never heard of this guy. I've never heard of Martin Lawrence.
What?
Yeah.
You're joking.
No, I'm dead serious.
Are you serious? Jack, you don't know who the great Martin Lawrence is.
Let me look up his IMDb, and I can see if I recognize anything that like he's in, if I would know him for. Give me a sec here.
This is a crime. This is one of the greatest comedians of all time, and you don't know who it is. You know Bad Boys, the movie, right? With Will Smith?
I know of it. I've never seen it.
You've never? Okay, let's just hit the break. Let's just hit the first break. When we come back, Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in LA. I appreciate you got people swerving on the road right now, Jay. This is crazy. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta will join us. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of Current Sports. My goodness. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just learned that Jack Kerwin does not know who Martin Lawrence is. We'll get a few comments coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Jack James says, I am white and I watched Martin, the best comedian.
But how old is James?
He's older than you, I believe. If I'm guessing correctly, because James has been a long time watcher and listener of Current Sports. Let's see here. Alex comments and says that Martin comes on MTV2 every night. Yeah, it does. Yeah, Martin still comes on like every single night. That and Fresh Prince. You know Fresh Prince of
Bel-Air. Yes, I know, right? Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, but, well, I was about to have a heart attack.
No, but to be fair, though, I mean, do you expect me, a 21-year-old, to watch MTV? I mean, MTV's been dead the entire time I've been alive.
Yeah, MTV has fallen off for sure. It's not even music television anymore.
No, not even remotely. And it hasn't been. I've been on this earth for 21 years. It hasn't been throughout my entire life.
Right. It's now reality television, because all it's on MTV now is like MTV2 is more music now and old sitcoms, but like MTV overall is like reality TV Central. So, but yeah, you know, it's like, if you know Will Smith, you know Martin, because they are like synonymous with each other. So
really?
Yeah. Cause Bad Boys okay. Is the movie. Michael Bay directed it, and Michael Bay put like Will and Martin on the cinematic map with that
okay.
movie.
Gotcha. So,
and Bad Boys 2 was awesome. I loved it.
So, and that was James, by the way, a second ago.
Yeah.
To address James's point, I don't think it has to do specifically with me being white. It has to do with me being white, and also this is probably a little bit before my time.
Right, yeah.
So it's a combination of a couple of
things.
It's
a combo. I see that, for sure. So check it out. It will have you dying laughing. It's a great, great show, Jack. Okay. Do we have Deshaun? Deshaun Tate is on line one, waiting patiently. Deshaun Tate, of course, of CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He is our Current Sports college basketball hoop expert. And I know Deshaun probably his jaw is probably on the floor right now, Jack. You know, Deshaun, you heard what we were just talking about. Jack has no idea who in the world Martin Lawrence is. Can you believe that, Jack? That's pretty crazy, Jack, that you don't know Deshaun. It blew my mind when I heard it. I'm pretty sure it's blowing your mind right now. Deshaun Tate, welcome to Current Sports.
There's no way, Al, that I'm getting this old. There is no way that I'm getting this old, that there is people who are not familiar.
See, that's the part I feel really bad about right there.
Dude, like, I almost don't know what to say, but you know what? I work with another guy up at the radio station. Uh-huh. He's never seen Friday. He's not very familiar with. I don't understand how this works.
Well, that's understandable. Because you know what, Deshaun, what I found like with like Friday and How to Be a Player and Boys in the Hood and New Jack City, I mean, those are like African-American classics. You know what I mean?
Dude, everybody knows Friday. If I say Debo, like if I say Tommy Mr. Jr., people may not be familiar. If I say Debo, there's only one person's name who comes up. Like,
right. That's true.
I don't know where to go from here with this, man. It's slightly disappointing, yet I'm still feeling like I'm really getting up there in age right now.
I feel old too. Jack, do you know Friday? Please tell me you know Friday.
No.
What?
Yeah, I got no idea what you're talking about, honestly.
Oh, boy.
Dude, let me tell you something. That gave me the same feeling. I was out in Chicago for All-Star Weekend last weekend. Yeah. I'm putting in a ton of time with the Young family. And just learning the ropes as to, you know, Trey Young and his whole family, and just kind of running around all throughout the city of Chicago and so forth. We go into a club. Granted, now I see Brandon Ingram and Jaren Jackson, Miles Bridges, Ben Simmons, Trey Young. I'm in there with all the guys, but they're the younger up-and-coming guys. A couple little cuties in there, but I wouldn't have even known what to say to any of them because they were all so young. Like, I'm feeling even older now.
Right, you gotta like relate, I guess. And that's the thing. Some even like some of the young hip hop artists that come out now, I just don't like the kind of rap that's produced nowadays, man. Like, I can't listen to DaBaby for more than like two songs. And I'm out. I'm deuces. You know what I mean? So it's a different generation. It's a brave new world, Deshaun.
Clearly.
Oh, man. All right, dude. I want to talk, of course, some hoops with you. That's why we got you on. And first off, you know, let's start there because, you know, before we dive into college basketball, you were covering NBA All-Star Weekend out in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was just there just kind of taking in the atmosphere. I wasn't covering anything. But, you know, you had, you know, with you covering the Atlanta Hawks out there in Atlanta, you were following Trae Young. And what's so amazing, can you just, Deshaun, take me through your reporting relationship with Trae Young, because you've been covering this young stud for a long, long time. And I would get into these debates with my family members that, look, it's only a matter of time before Trae Young is going to start to really put up some crazy numbers and turn a lot of heads in the NBA. And this season, my goodness, he's had a great year, hasn't he?
Dude, I think more so reason why a lot of people doubt the way that they have is because of the fact that you're thinking about the old NBA. This is a new NBA, and that style of play plus smaller guards, body stature-wise, and just the style that he comes with from launching long three-pointers, and you can barely even touch guys, breathe on guys, make eye contact with guys. It's very fitting for him and the way that he plays the game. But no, I just kind of established and developed a relationship when the guy was in high school. Let me tell you something. The dude was averaging 42 in high school. Mm-hmm. What he's doing right now is what I saw then, before it even got to Oklahoma. So when you start talking about people who are questioning his ability, I'm like, dude, the dude can shoot from the moon, for crying out loud.
Right.
It just translated right over. There was no... I mean, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, outside of a little bit of more strength and stuff like that, I haven't really seen like a ton of growth, because we've seen this on the high school level. We've seen it at Oklahoma. We see it now. What a great family. I mean, I remember when I first laid my eyes on dude, and, you know, they're in layup lines and whatever else, warm-up lines, and I'm seeing him launch three-pointers and it looks crazy. I'm like, okay, there's not a hands in his face. There's no hands in his face. And, you know, it is the warm-up line, for crying out loud. The game tips, he's doing it from the tip, and it just keeps happening over and over throughout the duration of the game. And, I mean, I'm looking at Dad like, first time meeting him, dude, what did you feed this kid for breakfast? And after that point, dude, it just all started rolling. And that was during the Peach Jam and the Nike EYBL circuit, dude. And, I mean, from that point on, it was like I just ran off telling everybody about Trae Young, and everybody was scratching their head talking about, who is that? And after that, dude, it was pretty much a wrap.
Yeah, he's really, in my opinion, Deshaun, like Steph Curry 2.0. And I listened to Dominique Wilkins, who I believe does the basketball broadcast right down there in Atlanta.
That is correct.
Dominique talked about how Trae Young is like the best young sports star in Atlanta right now. I mean, you know, I mean, he owns Atlanta right now, and just how the city has gravitated towards him. And how he handles it very, very well. He really does.
Yeah, I know. And you've got some pretty decent other guys in that conversation as well, between the Ronald Acuñas and the I know that there's another guy, Martinez, from, you know, Atlanta United. The MLS is a big deal here. Mm. I mean, some people would even say he's in the same conversation as Julio Jones. I mean, it's right there in the same breath, I would imagine. But I can't believe you went out to Chicago and you ain't even ring my phone and tell me you was in the shot.
Deshaun,
you don't want this steak that I owe
no,
you.
No. Deshaun, I didn't know you were out in the shy until you just mentioned during that introduction that you were in the shy.
Dude, Al Martin, when have they played basketball anywhere and I never said that I wasn't going to go? If they're dribbling the ball on the moon, Al Martin, give me credentials to the moon. I'm going out there with my space helmet, my space boots, the whole outfit, and I'm going to the moon. Wherever the ball is dribbling, 94 feet long, 50 feet wide, 22 and 1 3/4 inches out on the perimeter, and if the rim is 10 feet tall, I'm out there. Dude.
You out there. Just call him Deshaun Armstrong, right? There we go. You're going to the moon, and you're covering that game. Well, and was this your first All-Star game covering it, Deshaun?
It was my first one. First time ever.
I mean, and hey, the best All-Star game, I think, ever. I've never seen the competitiveness that we saw in that fourth quarter. I've never seen another All-Star game bring that level of competitiveness. I love the new format, my man.
Which is exactly what I was hoping was going to happen because of the tribute and everything to Kobe. Look, I don't know if Kobe's going to go down as the best player of all time. In my opinion, that's always going to be Michael Jordan. It's going to be really hard to talk me off of that ledge. But he's certainly in the conversation. Now, one thing that I can say about Kobe that I can't really say for a lot of other guys is that he is the epitome and he is exactly what the definition of competitor is. I was just really hoping that guys, which is what we have an issue with, not only in the NBA regular season, sometimes we don't get it until playoffs, but more so in All-Star Weekend, you don't typically see a lot of competitive nature. And we get a little bit more of it in the fourth quarter for All-Star Weekend, but you typically don't get that much of it all together. Mm-hmm. It really had the feel of something like an NBA Finals type of energy to it and kind of vibe to it, honestly. And I loved it every bit because that's what Kobe deserved. And he wanted to go out there and he wanted to beat up on guys and defend the best player on the opposite side of the ball. I'm glad that we got a chance to see that out of a lot of guys weekend before last.
We got a peek into a competitive pickup game with the world's best basketball players. The world got a peek into a pickup game against the world's best, Deshaun. That's the best I can describe it. It was amazing. So before we get you out of here, Deshaun, I wanna get your thoughts on what you've seen from Michigan State men's basketball this year. Deshaun, because I love bringing you in because, you know, you're down in Atlanta and you see it from a different view than what how many of us see it with our green and white goggles on. Now, don't get it twisted. I know you are a diehard Michigan State fan, but you being out there in Atlanta, you see it from a different perspective. How do you see this year's team and how good do you think they will be as we're knocking on the door of the postseason now?
One of the biggest underachievers in college basketball this season to go along with Florida and maybe a couple others, but outside of that, the inability to put two halves together equally, I don't think that we've seen this team really look good since probably the win against Seton Hall in terms of both half putting together two halves. There's just a lot riding on Cassius Winston. I mean, it's really showing that losing Nick Ward and losing Matt McQuaid and losing Kenny Goins has been, you know, really telling for this team. And there is no outside threat. I mean, you're going to get your Gabe Brown sometimes, but, you know, the Cassius Winston, a lot is still wearing on him mentally, obviously. And there's just so much inconsistency with Aaron Henry. You know what? And I'm going to be honest with you about something. You know, I'm going to keep it all the way real because that's the only way that I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm all for guys getting married. I am all for guys having families and all that kind of stuff. But I need Xavier Tillman to be completely locked in and to have his head screwed on straight and to put that ball in that basket when the time comes that that's what we need, because he is a very big piece to how successful Michigan State can be. And while a lot of people are really writing them off, because I'll be honest with you, when you look at the top five right now, I know that Michigan State doesn't look good, but I know that typically their best basketball is played later on in the year, which is where I usually have a problem with Michigan State fans that sit back and wait and are not concerned about what happens throughout the duration of the regular season and just wait and figure that they'll turn it on in March. It does not always work like that. But my issue is the fact that if I was to tell you that of the top five teams, maybe not in this order, but Kansas, Baylor, San Diego State, Dayton, and I'm missing one, whoever, in Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. If I tell you that Michigan State goes further than those five teams, the way that college basketball has worked this season, that they'll go further in the NCAA tournament than any of those five teams, would it surprise you? Probably not, because it's still Michigan State and it being a team that people typically don't want to face at the beginning, you know, at the tail end of the year in the NCAA tournament. But, dude, they've got some work cut out for themselves. And they, I mean, it's gonna take some luck on this one. It's not just going to be Tom Izzo going to be able to pull this team all the way through to get down here to Atlanta the first week of April.
Real quick, do they beat Iowa tonight? Why or why not?
You know what? I don't have a lot of confidence, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not against people who are homers. I'm not against people who are biased, as long as they're honest about it. Tonight is going to be an honest or a biased opinion. I'm going to take Michigan State to beat Iowa tonight, but I'm telling you what, I don't feel good about it at all.
Yeah,
it's kind of what I've seen over the course of the last few weeks. The Penn State game, the Wisconsin without their top two starters, and Illinois storming back after Sparty being up 20. I don't feel good about it at all, but I'm just throwing my bias out there, and I'm going to roll with Sparty. But it would not surprise me to see Michigan State after tonight with double-digit losses on their record.
Yeah, it's like, you know, my gut is saying Michigan State, but my head is saying something else tonight, Deshaun. I'm a bit conflicted as well, you know. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, Jack and I, we were chatting before we had you on, and I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan State did fall tonight against Iowa. But we'll see, man. But Deshaun, thank you so much, brother. You always bring the heat, and we love having you on. We got to have you on much more often as, again, postseason is right around the corner, brother. Looking forward to it.
I try my best, man. Hopefully you guys can come and join me, man, down here in Atlanta for Final Four, and hopefully Sparty will be here. At Tates Take Hoops on the Twitter, TATESTAKEHOOPS, where basketball lives. And anywhere that you can find podcasts is where you can see that interview I did breaking down the whole All-Star Weekend with Trey Young's dad and just explaining the whole thing. Anywhere you find podcasts, that's at Tates Take, TATESTAKE, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the whole nine.
Love it, man. He brings it. Deshaun, thank you so much, bro.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, you heard what Deshaun just stated, Jack. I think, you know, I feel just like how Deshaun feels. You know, I'm a bit conflicted when looking at tonight's game. Real briefly, 90 seconds left here. Michigan State is filling out that coaching staff. Actually, it's pretty much filled out except for that defensive coordinator position. We're talking Jay Johnson, William Pegler, Courtney Hawkins, Ted Gilmore, Chris Kapilovic, Ron Burton, Mike Tressel, Harlan Barnett, and Ross Ells. The DC position is the only position that they have not filled. But right now, when I'm looking at those names, Jack, what I really like, just one component I want to harp on here with a minute left, is that there is a mix of some of the old when it comes to, you know, to when it comes to coaches like Ron Burton, Mike Tressel, Harlan Barnett.
The good ones.
Exactly, the good ones, right? Because what Mel Tucker talked about at that podium yesterday during his media availability was that he wants to make some drastic changes. Sometimes a huge drastic change can be jarring to the current players who are used to a system. That change has to come somewhat gradually, and I think that's what Burton, Tressel, and Barnett can bring to the fold along with the new ideas of the other assistant coaches. So I like the balance that we got here right now when it comes to MSU football.
No, I agree. And you know what? Just real quick, I don't think there's a need to change a whole lot on the defensive side of the ball for the Michigan State Spartans. They had a tough year last year, but I think the scheme still works just fine.
It was, what, 4-3 heavy, right? And it, according to what Mel Tucker wants to do, he's going to see a lot more. We're going to see a lot more variety with that, a lot of hybrid stuff. So I'll harp on that more tomorrow, though. I got some notes on that. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. We'll recap Michigan State, Iowa. Be easy, people. In the heart of time.